We've ministered in a number of places in the state of Mississippi. It's a great state. A lot of wonderful people in Mississippi. And we're always glad to come to Mississippi to minister. It's a real privilege to be here. They tell me that this is one of the hardest places to have a revival anywhere in the country. I got first-hand encouragement when I come here. Mr. Stewart said, if you have a meeting here, you've really done something. He said, because we had a gospel singing and we had 10 people out. So I said, we had some of the finest singers in the country. So I believe that God will furnish somebody to preach to, don't you? Looks like we're getting off to a better start than they did to start with. So I thank God for being here tonight and for having the opportunity to meet you. Some of you I've never seen before. Some of you I know. Some of you are old acquaintance. And some of you I've never met. And I'm sure that as I minister tonight, some of you are going to, you know, scrutinize me just a little bit to find out if I'm a false prophet. Brother Taylor said a 20th century prophet. He didn't say what kind. So I would figure if a man was a prophet at all, you know, he'd have to be a 20th century prophet because we're in the 20th century. But I don't claim to be a prophet. I don't claim to be anything. But I don't claim to be false either. So I know that some of you will, you know, you'll consider very diligently what I've got to say, and I'm glad that you will. One reason is because the Bible tells us to give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Seeing that the angels received a just recompense and reward for every transgression, the Bible said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So it's very important that we learn to hear words and understand words and listen to words. You know, most Pentecostal people know very little about the word. They know a lot about sensation, and I believe that if you don't have any sensation, you don't have any God, because God is a great sensation. How many believe that? God is a great sensation. But I believe that you can't have a zeal without knowledge, and I believe that we need the Word. Inasmuch as in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, then we need to know the Word if we're going to learn about God. Is that right? The only way to know God is to know the Word. Is that right? Somebody say amen. Encourage me a little. Thank you, Brother Wilson. Hallelujah. Brother Leon Wilson here to me is one of the finest men that I know. I've never met a fine man in my life. I've known Leon for many years, and to me it's a real privilege to have him here tonight and to be concerned about this meeting, to bring his people up from Willow Springs. And it's just such a wonderful privilege to have him here. I've really longed for his fellowship for a long time. We haven't seen each other in a long time. Other than a few days back, he came over for a little bit. It had been many years since we had a chance to fellowship. I see other faces here. Brother Zale Carnes, one of our beloved brethren from around Monroe, just a wonderful man of God. And I'm really surprised that he got here the first night. But I'm thankful that he and his wife is here. We've got Brother Delmer Baldwin back here, which is another great man of God, a 10 evangelist that's preaching all over the nation. And I think he's on radio now. I know that he is setting a tent meeting up in, I believe it's in somewhere in New Mexico. Where was this, Denver? Would you stand up back there and talk a little louder? Carlsbad, New Mexico. He was out there a few months ago in Carlsbad. He's setting up a huge gospel tent there. And if you people travel very far, you know, well, you'll go out and be with him. Sometimes we travel that far. As Brother Billy Walker was saying here the other night, we listened to one of his tapes. He said, I'm a traveling Jesus man. We just happened on this journey coming up. We stopped coming out of Sarasota, Florida. We come up through Dothan and stopped there for the night. And Brother Billy Walker Jr. had his big tent up for a crusade there in Dothan. We stopped right there by the place. Praise the Lord. So we travel, and if you travel that far, you can be in meeting with Brother Baldwin out there. Brother Baldwin also has a church over here, not too far away, over in Olive Branch, Mississippi. Actually, it's called Cedar View. Got a nice, big, beautiful, great church there. He loves the Lord. He believes in the truth, and he's a wonderful man of God. And Brother Wilson has his church here at Willow Springs. He believes in God. He loves the Lord. And he knows the truth, and he's not afraid to preach. You know, some folks know the truth, and they're just a little bit afraid to stand on it. I remember a lady one time, she felt like the men wasn't doing a good enough job, so she got up and made a statement and said, what we need, said, instead of a bunch of sissies with curly hair and a bow tie, said, we need somebody with a backbone like a saw log that'll get and tell the truth. So it sounded like she had a different idea, you know, about preachers than what the world has today. But I really believe that that's what we need, is something, you know, that's true, something that can help us. I've got so much tonight, till I wouldn't hardly know where to start. When I first started preaching, you know, I thought, my, I've got so much time, and I'll never find enough to say. And then after preaching a while, I thought, my, I've got so much to say, I'll never find enough time. So it changed quite a bit since the time we started to minister. And our heart is filled tonight with the glory and the message of Christ. And I believe, and I don't say it in any boastful manner, but in simplicity, I believe that if the people of this area knew what the Lord had placed in my heart, you couldn't get a car within a mile of it. I believe that's putting it mild. Some folks would say, I think you're exaggerating, but I believe that would be putting it mild. I don't believe you'd get a car anywhere in a circle circumference within a mile. But of course, the Bible says God has hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent, and revealed it or made a revelation unto babes such as will learn. So then, I'm glad to be here tonight and to have a chance to minister to you. I thought we'd talk with you just a few minutes and try to get acquainted just a little bit here, and then we'll read to you and see if the Lord will give us a few thoughts. I want to say once again that I feel privileged to be here, and this is a great revelational move. Our meetings have been revelational meetings. They've not just been another meeting, but our meetings have been revelational meetings. A few years ago, God called us away and began to talk with us, and he placed the revelation of Jesus Christ within our heart. At that time, I knew nothing about it. I fasted, I prayed, I sought God, I'd done what the other ministers had done, I traveled across the nation. And our ministry has been broad. We've ministered in the islands, in Mexico, and Canada, and across the nation. And right now we're drawing mail out of Africa and England and Sweden. We're drawing mail from the foreign countries, and they're pleading for our ministry. But I've done all those things, and yet I've never understood just what God wanted. But like Paul of old, one day God called me away into a solitude and began to speak with me and begin to tell me some great things. And when I first heard them, I thought I was losing my mind. When these things first started coming, they were so far out, as the world said, I thought, Lord, what's happened to me? And I started drawing back from it. And I said, God, I can't do this. I'm becoming so different from people, and I'm becoming different from the world, and I'm just getting off into a place by myself. And I thought, Lord, I've enjoyed my salvation so much. I've enjoyed being with people and having fellowship, and I just can't do this. And I started drawing back. And I heard a voice say, you can't do that. If you do, I'll cut you off. And he said, I've got a work that I want you to do. And he said, you're going to have to follow me. And I began to press in. And I learned what Jesus meant when he said, I'm a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, or Paul and the others. Paul said, I though he preached joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost, the Bible said he had a heart full of continual sorrow. Is that right? I began to learn then that the church world has really been playing. And even until this very hour, they're still playing. The Bible said they sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. And even until the very day that we're living in, they're still playing. But I never realized it so much until I was made to know the revelation of the Lord Jesus. And even though I've got it in my heart tonight, and there's hundreds of tapes back at the tabernacle that they've got stored away in the safe, they've never released very many of them because God wouldn't let me release them because he said it wasn't time to do it. But it's hundreds of tapes of revelation back there that is gradually being released now, and they're going to the islands and different places. And the revelation of the Lord Jesus is fixing to come forth, and everything that is on the field, it doesn't matter who it is or what it is, it'll fade away into nothing. Everything. I made some predictions that sound mighty wild. They sound like they were that it was impossible for them to come to pass. But Because they were concerning great men like Billy Graham and Oral Roberts and Till Osmond and William Bryan and other great men across the nation, men like Armstrong that you hear on the radio station around the world. But every one of them precisely hit their mark. Came to pass in such a staggering manner that a lot of our followers came to me and said, Brother Pike, said, it's unbelievable. I can't hardly believe it, but said it's happening just exactly the way the revelation of Christ showed it would be. But tonight, I can't go into those things. We've got about 5 days here, Monday through Friday. And during that time, I'd like to drop just a little bit here and there, if I can get your attention enough. If you're attentive enough, if I can get your spirit enough. How do you know that God's a spirit? God's a spirit. He's the invisible God. And he's present whenever you come together in the name of his Son. How many of you know that? When you gather in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the eternal spirit comes down. Is that right? And then when we all come together in a unity and a fellowship as they did on the day of Pentecost, and that mighty rushing wind begins to come. That's the trouble with the church today, is we've not come together in one mind and one accord yet. But when we do come together in one mind and one accord, something is going to take place. God is a spirit, and he can't move in the membership of his body until he gets a coordination. And he isn't going to have the coordination out of the members until he gets it out of the ministry. How many agree to that? I'm going to say something here that sounds kind of wild, but this is the truth. It is, the trouble today is not with the church. I've heard ministers lambast the people and lambast the church. But I want to apologize for the entire ministry that's done that. It is not the church that's in the wrong today. The church is but babes. They don't understand. It's the ministry that is preying off of the people and feeding themselves and not feeding the sheep and trying to cut them off a little group over here and a little group over yonder. And they've divided the body of the Lord Jesus, and they've got the people in such a stir of the Lord, in such confusion until the people don't know who to believe anymore. That's the truth standing today. So then it isn't the people, it's the ministry. But I'll tell you what, God said, I'll take them down, I'll move them out. I'll raise up shepherds after my own heart. Is that right? Shepherds that will feed the sheep and not feed themselves. How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, now I will read just a little bit here from chapter 1 in the book of Peter. I want to ask you before I read, try to come back and be with us tomorrow night. Try every night for these 5 nights we're going to be here. Try to come and be with us. First of all, I'd like for you to come for this reason. This meeting is in spiritual revelation. It is the move of God for this hour. Now, I may not get a chance to explain it in the whole meeting, but I hope I'll be able to say something during the meeting to show you in a way that you can understand that it's the very move of God at this hour. And we'll have people coming, as far as I know, out of Monroe, Georgia, and over in the Atlanta area, out of Jackson, Tennessee, and out around Olive Branch, Mississippi, who's telling me tonight there'll be some more here. From that area, we might have some coming from out of Arkansas and different places round and about. Some from here, right here in Mississippi. But we're looking for a real move of God. And I'd like for you to come out and work with us. Be concerned. If you knew what I had to say to you, and if God would let me say it, you'd be concerned. Mine, you'd be concerned. Nobody would have to tell you to be concerned. You'd be concerned so much that you wouldn't dare miss one night.
Praise the Lord.
All right, in the book of Peter, the second epistle of Peter, chapter 1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren
nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and is forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you all away in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shewed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunning devised fables, but we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. A couple of thoughts here that I'd like to dwell on tonight and see if God will give us a thought that might help you or strengthen you in your Christian work. Paul said, we are helpers of your faith. One thing here is that God said it is a good thing in the 12th verse here to be established in the present truth. I believe in the present truth. I believe there is a present day truth. And I believe in the present truth. Man. And the next thing is, he points out here that we should be established not only in the present truth, but he tells us that God, having established us in that present day truth, has given unto us all things that pertain unto life. Isn't that right? God has given unto you and I all things that pertain unto life. And what the Lord is wanting you and I to do is to settle down in the things of God and be about our Father's business. There's a business of God to be taken care of. And God is expecting you and I to settle down in the things of God and be about our Father's business. Isn't that right? There is something that we've got to do. I know that we're all people, and I understand that we have human desires. We want homes, and we want cars, and we want the refinements of life. We like to have the security, the benefits of life, and it's nothing wrong with having that. God intended for us to have that. But that is one thing that he tells us, and that is that in this present world in which we live, that there is a curse of sin that's hanging over it like a dark cloud, and everyone that gets entangled in these things are partakers of that evil power that God is trying to keep us away from. Is that right? You know, for a long time, I didn't understand what the Lord meant when he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is of the world is the pride of life and the lust of the flesh. I didn't understand how God could tell me that it was the lust of the flesh, and that the world and the lust thereof would pass away, but he that doeth the will of God would abide forever. How could God tell me not to love the things of the world? I read in another place where the Bible said that God so loved the world. You understand what I'm saying? It was hard for me to understand. I said, Lord, how can you tell me why I'm made subject to vanity, the things of this life? That I'm not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world, when I know for sure that you love the world. That was a little bit confusing to me. I just couldn't understand it. And the Lord spoke to my heart. And he said, son, I so loved the world that I gave my only begotten son to redeem the world, to save the world, and that all of them that would believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. He said, I so love the world, in the condition that I made it in the beginning when it was without sin and blameless. I still love the world, God said, the way that I made it. He said that I gave a body of redemption to reserve it. He said, but while it's under the curse of sin, I don't want you to love the world. Because someday, he said, I'm going to redeem it, bring it back to the perfect state of the garden that I made it to be in the days of Adam, and then you can love the world and be partakers of all the benefits of the world. Where Peter said that God has given us all things that pertain unto life. Isn't that wonderful? I'll tell you what, that stirs my soul. I don't know whether you see it, what I do or not, but I see something wonderful in it, where God has given unto us all things that pertain unto life. Now, if there's anything that we're looking for, it's life. Isn't that right? Tonight, I'm preaching to you not just some Pentecostal message. God didn't just tell me to go preach a Pentecostal message, but he said, my words are spirit, and my words are life.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. There's something about that that does something to me. The Bible said the Jews had the word, but not being mixed with faith, it did not profit them that heard. But when God brought the word to the Gentiles and began to tell them about the word, how that God in the beginning was the word, and God created all things by the word, and the moon and the stars, and everything is up there by the word tonight. Everything that I exist tonight because the word said that there be. I'm here tonight and you're here tonight because the word spoke you into existence. And that God, who is the word, being the same yesterday, today, and forever, that same God word to the Jews that opened up the earth in the days of Moses, that same God word that Joshua used when he commanded the sun to stand still, that same God word that Elijah used when he raised the dead, that same God word that Peter used when he raised Dorcas from the dead, that same God word that's living today, that same God word, the same yesterday, today, and forever, to every generation, that God word is still alive. For everybody that can mix faith, it is God the word the same yesterday, today, and forever. All things that pertain to life. For he said, my words are spirit, and my words are life. How was it that the people of old survived? The Bible said they endured as seeing him who is invisible. Is that right? In other words, God the Spirit, God the Word, with them, a knowledge, giving unto us the knowledge of the Son of God, the Word mind of God in our midst, this great spiritual God Word that's walking in our midst and staying with us and leading us and teaching us. And every time we put faith in it, something begins to happen. If you're in poverty and you put faith in the God Word, the whole situation begins to change. If you're dying with cancer and you've got physical defects, when you put your faith in the God Word, things begin to happen. The Bible said God sent his word in him. There wasn't one sick among them as they journeyed through the wilderness because God's word in him. Hallelujah. His word the same yesterday and then forever. Today I've got the word. Today you've got the word. And today the word can give us the benefits that we need. The world is trying to compromise. The church is trying to compromise. Compromise with the word. Hallelujah. But my brothers and sisters, you're not winning the doctors and the lawyers. They're winning you. I said you've not won them to anything. They won you with their reckless way of life. They converted you off. You want to prove it? Somebody said on the pot, you can't prove it. I don't believe they won me over, but they have. They won you over with their way of life. Hallelujah. I said, God, we're going to get the Baptist revival. How do you believe? There was a Baptist girl coming there, and she was standing there, she didn't start, she was painted up, came over to the place there. I began to talk to her. I said, God's going to get a revival of the Baptist church. And real sophisticated like, she stood there and looked at me, you know. Said she belonged to the Baptist. I said, God, I'm going to give a revival of the Baptist church. I said, they're going to speak in tongues and be filled with the Holy Ghost. She kept waiting for the year of prison. I said, I made a prediction years ago that the entire world would turn to Pentecostal. Many years ago, I said, the Baptists and the Methodists and the church
inner sun moon will go into functioning, and that will propel them to believe in miracles, and then the lying signs and wonders will start, and the three unclean frogs that matter three, the prophet, the dragon, and the beast that went forth in all the earth, working miracles to gather the world together to the battle of Armageddon. The charismatic move is going to do it. Watch and see. The charismatic move got started back in about 1960. That's when we got our first Catholic president. It got started. I made a prediction that the Catholics would go Pentecost. They published a piece in the paper the other day, and somebody brought it to me. I looked at the article, and the article said the Pentecostal festival will be held this time by the Pope of Rome.
Right.
And the Pope of Rome will be the chief speaker. The Pope of Rome will be reciting all the Pentecostal festival. And said in Florida, at the big Southern Convention of the Baptist Church, said in this convention, we will take up the subject of speaking in tongues. I said, the Baptist Southern Convention said at this meeting we will take up the subject of speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. I said, you Pentecostal people had something, and you didn't know what you had, and you laid it down, and you laid it down, the Baptist brought off it.
Wow.
Hallelujah. What happened when the Israelites laid the Ark of the Covenant down? They left it for just a little while, didn't they? They mumbled, they grumbled, complained, they didn't want to do what it said. After a while, they laid it down just for a minute, and the Philistines rolled down, and they got a hold of it, and they said, we got the Ark of the Covenant, and from the time the Ark of the Covenant left Israel, there was nothing but trouble in the town. Those Israelites never did win another battle. You know that's what's wrong with the Pentecostal people. You let the Holy Ghost leave you, and you're not going to win any more battles, because the Bible said it's not the power, it's not the might, it's not the football game, it's not the basketball game, it's not the sudden change in building churches. I said it's not the lifting and pedal pushers. It's not for going to college, it's not for getting money. It's not to put the child through a high school or a college to get education. But God says, find my spirit.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Right, amen.
Hallelujah. I'm going to say some late night. You know what? There ain't never been nothing no more rotten since the foundation of the world than the education system.
That's right. Amen.
I said there never was nothing that was ever instigated more rotten since the foundation of the world than the educational system. Hallelujah. I said a few years ago, it's a cesspool of iniquity. I said someday you're going to find out about it. It ain't been but a few days ago that a man of their own status and standing, Paul said one of their own group, he got up and he said the educational system has turned into a cesspool of iniquity. One of the leaders, the professors over the college, they just found out that he's a sodomite. He confessed it after all these many years. Are you listening? Are you listening? I said, the woke up, twisted tree of knowledge that you beat your children and fall into is taking your children to hell and taking you to hell too. You're walking into college and they turn you into reprobate and talking to you become beetles and beat nicks and no pants and everything else. It's gone here to sound it. Some old country cowboys just took out of the field with good sense, built us a civilization and a good place to live.
Yes.
And then the head town junior, he had to get an education so he wouldn't have to work. And so Junior got an education. He said, Daddy, you ain't gonna work. I'm gonna be a go back, I'm gonna be a rock and roll, I'm gonna be this and that, and I ain't gonna work, but you told me if I got an education, I wouldn't have to work. So Daddy winds up working for it. Amen. That's right. What's wrong with it? What's wrong with this generation? The Bible says it's a Laodicean, lukewarm generation of people's rights. The white man says he wants his rights, and the black man says he wants his rights, and the yellow man says he wants his rights, and the white says she wants her rights, and Mary wants his rights, and Jimmy wants his rights. And I want God's rights.
Yes, amen.
Amen. It's a Laodicean and lukewarm day. Amen. People's rights, when he says that we're full, have need of nothing. God's people towering up toward the sky, but the Bible says they're wretched and blind and naked. Can't see a fall. Amen. Amen. I said the Bible said, and they're blind, naked, and wretched. You can't see a fall.
Right.
Are you listening? Blind, naked. They can't see a fall. And the Bible said that the midnight cry, every one of them was asleep. Are you listening? I said, the Bible said the midnight cry, you was asleep. Are you listening? I said, the Bible said the midnight cry, the foolish and the wise all was asleep. You know, the Pentecostals like to say, we're the wise. We've got the all. This God, you bad folks have done gone to sleep. But that wasn't the way the scripture said, was it? The Bible said the midnight cry, their lights had gone out. You say, what do you mean, brother? The Bible said, so let your light shine in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation, that men might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, not to run around in pink suits, you ladies, and try to take on the authority of a man. For that which pertains to a man, if a woman tries to use it as abomination to the Son of God,
right,
she's supposed to be a woman. Hallelujah. Some of you, amen, are going to leave me. Watch and see. I'll get through here. You men that took your wives and stuck them out on jobs.
Wow.
I said you take your wives and your daughters and put them out on jobs because they're too lazy to let them live. The woman just stayed around and she couldn't stand anymore. The other side came on the door. Nobody paid them and the man not cared until she finally went to work, to be honest. Come on.
Right.
Amen. The Bible said let the women guard the house. And I don't know how they're going to guard the house off on a job. You know what trouble is? The woman stayed around the boss longer than she did her husband, and she got to like him better than she did her husband. And she finally spent more time with him than the husband, and finally she divorced the husband and went with him. Or somebody else on the job. You can say amen or
amen.
Amen. We got another thing that's wrong. Hallelujah. I don't have nobody left with me. We got another thing that's wrong. The iron forces is one of the low down this year. Rottenest things that ever been put on the face of the earth. Somebody said we've got to keep an army so that we won't, the enemy won't take us over. The Bible said the battle is not for the strong and the race is not for the swift. Are you listening?
Yes.
The Bible said one man by faith in God went out on a battlefield and defeated the entire alien powers just him by himself. Then he go ahead. David said, I run for a troop and leap over a wall. He done what all the armies of Israel couldn't possibly do. God took a foolish thing to slay and shot to leap the army. The entire alien power. Amen. Somebody said, well, why did he take a camel the other way? If he took a camel, somebody would say, that it should have been like that. If he takes a nice educational polished skull, this will only be like this. It's been plenty of time getting that way. But he said, I'll take an old eating ring, it's called a fishing.
Yes.
And then if something happens, they'll give glory to God.
Yes.
I said, they'll give glory to God. Take the sling shot, David. And when you get through there, say, that can't possibly be that. It has to be God. And God didn't tell you to sell candy to build a church. Well, if you do that, you've done more than the Catholics did. I said, you could sell candy across the nation and build a church in anywhere. God don't give no glory out of that. But when you take a few struggling people and by faith in God, you pray to God, establish the monument under his name, God will get glory. Because that brings the invisible God present in a supernatural way. You love the Lord? The armed forces have wrecked the morals of our women. I know what they've done. Hallelujah. I've been in the armed forces. I know just how old they are. They break the morals of our women. And we are spending billions of dollars keeping armed forces of solid to take it over and run it down the road. Somebody said, what are we going to do with the enemy attacks? somewhere else, what are you going to do if you got a million men standing up there? What are you going to do with that? There ain't nothing you can do. Folks, you better get a hold of God. That's right, you better get a hold of God. The reason the nation's in trouble is because of God. They got more military strength than they've ever had in the history of the world. And times are in a greater peril than it ever was, and we stand more chance of losing our liberty than we ever stood in the history of the world.
Right.
Amen. One of the greatest prophets that ever walked across the land called 77 the midnight hour, the doom hour.
Right.
He said, I saw a vision, and I saw the calendar turn to about the year of 77, and it stopped. He said, I looked at everything, and America was blown to bits. Somebody said, it'll never happen. You got a man with the name of Tesco that ain't got no more reasoning about it, that he had blown everything to get to the master. He's as cunning as a fox. Russia thinks they're using him, and he's using Russia. Working cunningly and craftily to blow up your nation and to take your liberties. Satan has cunningly in every way destroyed you. He's destroyed America. She's gone. God's trying to destroy them to destroy the earth. They've destroyed the morals. They've destroyed every decency. They've destroyed our health with radioactive fallout. They've destroyed everything God's put here. They've blown the earth so much, I put it's cracking all over. The entire surface is cracked up like an egg. They're even affecting the moon. God said, I'll destroy them and destroy the earth. We got men that go hunting. They go hunt for sport. They kill hundreds of animals. Just tell me. The Indians years ago said the white man is crazy. Said he just kills for the fun of killing. Whether it's people or animals or whatnot, and said someday he'll come to life. I made a statement years ago. I said, you watch and see, the white man will use up every bit of the elements that he's got in the earth, his gasoline, his every kind of oil he's got will be soon gone. He's done. He's used up. He keeps switching from one thing to another. He's alive. He's got greed, the spirit of greed, a spirit of Satan that lusts his sex, out of overindulgence, lust in the passion of the world. Got to drive a car 10 times before it's already driven. Restless, can't stay at home. While the man's trying to make a living, the woman's frolicking up and down the road, talking to every merchant, everybody else, and she gets stuck behind. Amen. He said, because you forgot God, I'll turn your wives into prostitutes. Did he say that? He said, I'll turn your daughters into prostitutes because you forgot God. You know what God meant when he said it was in the days of Noah, so shall be in the coming of the Son of Man? He said, all flesh corrupted its way before God. Did you know today we don't have any decent people in, Lord?
That's right.
Amen. I said, we don't have any decent people in the world. Man, woman, boy, or girl. The little boys' minds, the Bible said their thoughts are continually evil. Your women, you send them to male doctors because they had some kind of a doctor's degree and they stripped off like a common prostitute in front of a man for him to treat them just like a common whore. Somebody said, but you've got to have your doctor. Where did you ever read in the Bible?
Amen.
I said, you bring your daughters, your wives, and your prostitutes, whoever give a man a right to undress your wife because he says he's a doctor. Who gives that right? That's why your wife turned out to be a prostitute. It killed something on the inside of her. Which she has to stand that man and defile her. But then on its enemy because one man is like the other. You might say the doctor, but she knows it's a man. You can say amen or hold me.
Right.
I said I wouldn't have nobody live for that. You ain't true.
Yes, Lord.
What is it? What was it in the old Bible? The Bible said they had handmaids, is that right? Every time a girl got married to the handmaid, she said, brother, why? Because that was the way they brought their children into the world with decency and God bless them. Amen. Hallelujah. God did it his way and kept decency. 5 years ago, you had a real lady for a while. your husband wasn't the whole woman. Is that right? Hallelujah. Some of us in the rough part, I don't know what we would do without our modern facilities of education, our modern industries, our modern arts. All right, let me ask you a question. What did Israel do? I said, God led hundreds of thousands of people out of Egypt, set up a commonwealth and eat out in the wilderness, put Moses at the head of it, and they didn't have any hospitals, and the Bible said there wasn't one sick enough.
Right, amen.
Are you listening? Amen. They didn't have any atomic warfare, but the Bible said the enemy failed before. They didn't have any modern industries, but the Bible said that God blessed them with so much food that they couldn't eat it all.
Right.
So he piled up until they had the money in the plate. Are you listening? Hallelujah. Some of us said, we just got to have these things. No, we don't have to. What we need is Jesus. Hallelujah. What we need is Jesus. Them things is pulling us away from God. The preachers, great preachers. I say he's a great preacher. You know why? Because he's afraid to lose the congregation. But you know what? My congregation is growing every day.
All right.
My congregation is growing every day. You know why? People are tired of folks lying to them. They're beginning to put some things together, and they're beginning to do a little thing for themselves instead of letting everybody brainwash them. And they're beginning to put the thing together instead of trying to let a PhD tell them and get some things that makes good common sense.
Right, amen.
Like these modern medical doctors that don't care if you live a dollar, they want to thumb the burden of golf course. You sit there, they'll treat your wife like a common prostitute, then instead of the desk, they talk to you in words so big that you don't know what they're saying. But when you break it all down, it just means you feel.
That's right.
Somebody said, Brother Parker, you don't think the doctors would do that? I do. As a matter of fact, I happen to know of a case where the doctor took so much time with the woman and examined her. He liked her so well that he took her and went off with her. Never thought doctors would do that, did you? You see what I'm talking about? Folks, we need to wake up. I said we need to wake up. Everything's gone. All flesh is corrupted and sweet before God.
Yes.
Everything's gone. You understand with me? There's a whole lot about to say tonight. A whole lot. I hope I've said a few things tonight that will make you stop and think. God says to this out. The sharpest age is dead. They stoop down in every corruption, every iniquity, and their dead. I want to ask you a question. Which one of the apostles was it? The reason I ask you this is because I don't know which one, and I need somebody to tell me. Which one of the apostles was it that instigated the basketball game? Was it Peter or James or John or Paul? Are you listening?
Come on.
I said, out of the entire church world, out of the assemblies and the church of God, the Pentecostal, the Baptist, and all the rest of them, look like one, at least just one out of all of them, if I'm just one of them. And I challenge all of them could give me one answer. Just one answer. Which one of the apostles instigated the basketball game? Since when did the church need a basketball game? Brother Paul Roberts, not too long ago, I made a prediction. How many years back was that in your memory? About 10 years from all of you, 11 years ago. God showed me that old Roberts would fall away from God. I predicted he would fall in his old age, and God said it would be over a basketball game. Well, 11 years ago, he said, son, he'll fall away in his old age over a basketball game. I got the publication the other day. It came right straight to Ben's office, my wife's office. I picked it up. I still got it at home. And old Roberts with his old RU. And his naked basketball players.
Oh.
Was all together having a great big game, and all said, you've got to get to the basketball team. And you've got to get into sports. I made a statement years ago. I said, return to sports because it'll go back to drink well water. And they'll kill the people in their leaders. Or such as not to reach the people in the world sport so we can get the people interested in our ministry. So we can reach them with the gospel. I want to ask you one question. What ministry has Oral Roberts got? Oral Roberts don't have a ministry. You can say amen or only. Oral Roberts one time had a ministry. Oral Roberts doesn't have a ministry. God said he's gone away, and God's rejected Oral Roberts. He has turned over to a reprobate mind. To believe a lie and be damned, yes, because he had not loved the truth when the Lord brought the name of the Lord to him. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
It's time to get out of here. The revelation out of the God picked stars. I've never been here. I never knew it existed. God picked stars. I told him, I said, this is the hour of the moon. A brother rose, a praying man. Sent word the other day to Brother Pike that I had a vision. He said, you were standing under a tent. And he said, I saw a sea. He said, never so many people in all my life. He said, you turned to me and said, Brother Rose, this is the hour. This is the hour. This is the hour. I see my witness. I just said, so Brother Lil Carter and the others. I said, this is the hour. Brother, this is the hour. That's why I talked about a share of the influence. Sorry. You gonna have a resurrection? Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
I made a statement. I said, Thank you.
university life. I've let people pass by and not tell them. But I saw a lot. We just had a person just a few weeks ago over here. But I'm not witnessing to call somebody with the spirit of lust had it. A few days ago, he showed up. That little woman. He had to come and make a confession. God knows what's going on. There's a man who saw this right now. He's playing around with women. Right now. He's playing around with women right now. I saw him in a vision. I saw the man in the vision. And I saw the women that he was playing around with. It's going to show up. This time, it's going to hurt you worse than you've ever been hurt in your life. As a matter of fact, if God's going to take this time, it's going to cost you life. You can do what you want to do. I'm just here to tell you. I'm just a spokesman. That's all I do. I'm just here to tell you. Proverbs says,
because there were many people on that thing. But he said, he walked past me, he said, I want said, yes, you, Mr. Cunningham. I'd have never said anything to him if he hadn't done it that way. It tore him all to pieces. The next day, he said, I got to see him. I'm going to see him. He come over, and he broke down in his heart and in his spirit, and it just tore him all to pieces. And the Holy Ghost was praying. You love the Lord. I got one or two people here tonight that ain't right with God, and you're standing right here with the rest of them. But you know what you're doing? You're playing a hypocrite. You love the Lord. I said you're playing a hypocrite, and you don't think that Brother Pike knows it, and you don't think that anybody else knows it. But they do. You know the best thing that you can do is get right with God, because the Bible says God has taken the hypocrite by surprise. And you got a surprise coming. You love the Lord? Like a woman that come in our church not too long ago, and the Lord showed me that her and her husband both was backslid, and she come in the church and she was talking about being a woman preacher. I turned to my wife, I said, a woman preacher? I said, that woman's dipping stuff. So I thought because she done it like she did, I'd just go over and tell her. Because she did it like she did, was playing the hypocrites of spoon. And I started over where she was, and she turned around like this, and then she started making a confession before I could tell her anything. The Lord wants to help her. He wants to help her. But you got to do what He wants you to do. Is that right? I want Judy to come up here. I want to pray for her. Will you come up here, Judy? I understand that this girl really needs some help from God right here. Really needs strength in her life. If I call you out, you won't renege on me, will you? I called a woman one time and I said, sister, the Lord wants to do something for you. I said, will you come up here? She said, God didn't tell me. I said, well, stay where you're at. I said, I don't want you up here if He didn't tell you. And about that time, it's like somebody stuck a hot rod to her. She started trying to get up out of the seat. I said, no, don't come up here. Just stay there. But she couldn't stay there. God's got a way of doing things, ain't He? I said, He knows exactly the way to do it. Just exactly the way to do it. I believe in this meeting that we're going to see some things that's going to shake us up. In the spirit of healing right here. Hallelujah. I felt the Holy Ghost a little bit. A little bit ago. And I felt faith out here. Some of you people love God. Because I felt a real, genuine faith. I see we've only got two black people with us tonight. But we'll have a number of black people here. There's a lot of black people follow our ministry through Mississippi and Miss Tennessee and Georgia and different places. And they'll be here. So you won't feel out of place. A lot of good black folks just like their white. How do you believe God made the black man too? How do you somebody said he had a different mother, but the Bible said Eve's the mother of all living? How do you agree with that? I said, how do you believe the Bible? Come on, help. God's good, ain't He? Sometimes we just don't think right. That's where the problem is. It's not what God is saying. Hallelujah. 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 This young man right here, we come on here, brother. I don't know this brother. I just see him. He's, I come in here, I said hello and shook hands, and he turned around. He didn't get chased off. But this young fellow here, I don't know, he might be one of the most wretched people in here. But God's got His hands on this boy. And this boy has got a good heart in him. This boy is wanting to really genuinely see something from God. I mean real genuine. And if I'm a liar and a hypocrite, but he is the best fellow to tell you because he's up here. I don't know. But in his heart, this boy has a real fear of God. And there's something in there. He's talking to me. And here, I hear him talking. And he really wants to do something for God. He's got a desire, a burning desire, to get out here somewhere in the ministry and really do something for God, and you can do it. God's got His hands on you, and you can do it. You can do it. If you let God have His way in your heart, unless they got a ministry. Hallelujah. If that ain't the spirit of truth, I'll get in trouble. But the boy's got a ministry. God's got to work for him, and the boy can do something for God.
Happy love the Lord. Praise God. God bless you all.
Hallelujah. These lights are pretty bright up here. If I stare at you, forgive me. Come over here, Judy, will you? I understand this young lady's had a nervous breakdown here. Now, can you imagine that? A young girl, her age, having a nervous breakdown. That proves that some of you folks is liable to have nervous breakdowns too, isn't that right? Pressure will kill you. Last day's young guitar she failed. This young brother right here, in the red shirt, he's just been converted from a life of dirt. He was telling the Abbot in Carolina that they hide thousands of dollars in loot in the furniture to ship it out around the nation to conceal it. The Bible said, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But he that confesseth his sins and then forsaketh his sins. You've got to get away from them. A lot of people like Catholics, they confess every day. I don't mean there's nothing wrong with Catholic, a lot of good Catholic people that's come to God, that tons of converted and filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't know a better Christian than a Holy Ghost filled Catholic. You love the Lord? Alright, I want to pray for this young fellow first here. Hallelujah. Brother Dale, with some of you ministers, come up here and pray with me, will you? Brother Dale, there's some of you, brothers, and some of y'all in the ministry, come up here and pray with me. The Bible says the prayer of faith shall save the sick. If they've committed any sins, and shall be forgiven them. How many believe the ministry got power to remit sin? They've got power to remit sin. As my Father said, he so send I in, Jesus said. Whosoever sent you, you remit shall be remitted. Jesus said to me and to the ministry, said, you go heal the sick, you cleanse the leper, you raise the dead. But how you going to do it, Brother Pike? The Bible said you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And the original rendering says when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Because the Holy Ghost is power. And when you receive power, he said, you're going to be able to see that power. Jesus said, I perceived that virtue went out of my body. Said he went away in the wilderness and fasted 40 days and then returned in the power of the Spirit. Is that right? You say, what is the power of the Spirit? He said, I perceive that virtue went out of my body. That's power. He returned in the virtue of the Spirit. And the little woman got the virtue. Is that right? And the Bible said, I perceive that virtue went out of my body. And the little woman said, I'm healed. I felt virtue while I was moving. I felt virtue moving while I was moving. If I lay my hands on you, I can tell whether or not virtue goes out of my body to you. That's right. I can tell if it doesn't go out. I can tell. Let's pray for this brother right here. I'm going to ask the Lord to help this brother. If there's anything that God needs on the field, it's a ministry. There has never been such a need in the history of the world as this hour for the ministry. You say, Brother Pike, we've got ministers everywhere. We've got a bunch of hypocrites running across the country that's selling everything from evil streams right on board. And they're bleeding the people to death for millions of dollars. But they're not the ministry of Christ and God.
wonderful report from Meridian, Mississippi a few days ago. Bibles and handkerchiefs were sent out from Paul's body, and God wrought special miracles. And a boy come with tears in his eyes and asked for his mother to be prayed for him, and said she was in a hopeless condition, and the doctors couldn't do anything for her, and said she had to slide around on the floor. Said she couldn't help herself. But I got my people together, and we prayed, and I felt the power of God come down. I said, folks, I felt God do something to that woman. I believe God's healed. I said, you believe it. I can believe it. We took that handkerchief and we sent it off where Pratt was. We sent it to that woman, and that about a month, a little more later, her son came back through. And he didn't even know what had happened. He said, Brother Pye, did I have the surprise of life? He said, I had given that prayer glove to my mother in faith. He said, when I went back through, my mother was completely healed. Said she was up, working, and canning stuff, and putting it in the storage, you know, and putting stuff in the refrigerator. Her, said my dad and her were standing there working together when I went in. The woman was completely healed. We've had some wonderful healings lately. We've had people in intensive care that had operations and had the most severe heart attacks while they were undergoing the operation. Had to rush into intensive care, and there wasn't even Christian businessmen, but because they heard what happened, they worried and we prayed and God healed them, brought them out and put them back in their business, and they sent Glenn Tyler to the great job saying, Brother Pike and folks, God bless you. We're not Christian, but we thank God that you prayed for us. Isn't it wonderful? Let your light so shine that men might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. He's still doing something. He's still doing something. I want you to lift your hands with me again. Thank you. I want to sing this little chorus today over again. A little chorus while you've got your eyes closed and your hands lifted up. I want you to sing it with us. The title of it is We're Going to Give the Glory to Jesus. Is that all right? And we'll give